Today I will be reading to you from the Old Testament, and this particular verse, Psalms 39, comes to me as song. It says, I'll be watching you, and I probably have the group wrong, but I think it's the police. So, the word to the Lord. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6, and Psalms 139, 13 through 18, and Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before the word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain it. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for thou art fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are the works. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. In thy book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of me. How precious to me are thy thoughts. O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, there are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 12. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intend to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will repent of the goods which I had intended to do so to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your doings. But they say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. That is the word of the Lord.
How many of you are familiar with that passage that Penny just read from Jeremiah about the potter's house? Jeremiah going to visit the potter. It's one of the more famous passages from Jeremiah, and rightfully so. It's a brilliant image that God uses. Who can't picture a potter working at the wheel, forming vessels? Even in this day and age, we know of people who work with pottery. It's not the profession that it once was. Now it's more done for artistic reasons. But in Jeremiah's day, the potter was essential. He was the one that made your jars and your water jugs and your oil bins in your, you know, that was a major business and concern. And it's a wonderful image, the potter working at his wheel, forming and shaping the clay. But I wonder if when you hear those words and you think about the potter and you think about relating that to your life, you imagine that the potter's wheel is kind of like going to a spa and getting a massage. Got that idea at all? Because if you do, you're in the wrong place. It's not that. It's not getting a massage. It might be for some of us, for somebody who's really good and God just needs to do a little adjusting. But for most of us, being on the potter's wheel is not that comfortable. God is trying to shape and mold us and reshape and remold us. And the reason this is such a brilliant image for us to look at and understand is because it relates to people individually. We can all apply being the potter working on the clay on the wheel to ourselves individually. Who here has ever thought that God's been remolding them and shaping them in a different way, directing them into a new shape or a new image or a new career or something like that? I'm sure all of you have in one way or another at some point. Individually, that's true. But you know, it's also true for congregations. It's also true for denominations. I think God, to a great extent, is reshaping the worldwide church in many different ways. And that's getting a little off track of where I'm going this morning. But I think that's true. The church is having to shape and be reshaped and remolded to deal with the modern era and with the modern age. The image of the potter is one that we all can grab hold of. The crafter of pots and urns and water jugs and much more is comforting because it is something we can all picture, we can all see. We can all put our hands on it if we want and be potters ourselves. But the idea of this metaphor of being shaped and molded by the hands of God, it rings with us. It sits with us. Now, of course, when we consider how God shapes and molds us, we remember that it's not always comfortable or easy. Our Creator is deeply invested in us. Deeply. Highly invested in us. And in seeing us become the person that He created us to be. And if we take today's lesson seriously, God, did you catch that one part of the image? God is willing to collapse the pot that you are to reshape you into another one. That can't be a lot of fun. That can't be a lot of fun. That will be uncomfortable for a time until you're reshaped and reformed as an individual or as a community or as a congregation. The church, if you look at church history, the church has been remolded drastically and dramatically about every 500 years. The first big change that came about is they had to actually form a structure and become a church and have organization and administration. And the next change came when the Eastern Church and the Western Church split along political lines and geographic lines and military lines and economic lines. But there was the Latin Church and there was the Eastern Orthodox Church. And then along comes Martin Luther and John Calvin. And the Reformation happens. And the church is drastically changed and altered again. And I think we're right on par right about now, because it's been about 500 years since John Calvin was alive. I think the church is being remolded again for a new age and for a new era. And so if you feel like the church is struggling, it may be. It may be, because we need to be in tune with God. We need to be in prayer and attentive to what God is trying to do in our lives individually and in our lives as the church corporately. The relationship between the potter and the clay is a robust one. The potter is not indifferent to the condition of the clay. God is not indifferent to the condition of his people. God is always in the mix, always in the mix. He's up to his elbows in clay. He's covered with spatter from spending endless hours at the wheel. Have you ever seen a potter work on a wheel? They work, that wheel spins. Hopefully they don't have to spin it themselves. The modern ones, I think, have a motor and the wheel spins. But if you work on a potter's wheel, it's wet clay. That's how, otherwise you couldn't mold it and you couldn't shape it. And as they work, their hands and their arms all get covered with clay, and there's parts that they all wear aprons because there's clay that spins off and they're all covered head to toe with spatter. Imagine that. God is working on us. He's not off high in the sky somewhere else. He's intimate. He's close. He's shaping us. He's molding us. And he's covered in our gunk because he's making us useful to him. That's what's going on here. That's the image we have before us. We might not always recognize God working in our midst or how he forms and reforms us, but God is never absent. He's always attentive. Christmas time, we celebrate the coming of Jesus. We call him Emmanuel. Everybody knows what Emmanuel means? God with us. How much more attentive can God be than to come in human flesh and live in our midst as one of us and die for our sins? God is present. God is attentive. That is a hope. That is a joy. That is something I want you to hold on to, because as I understand it, Glenshaw Valley is, pastor has just retired. You're looking for a new pastor. That's a significant change for this congregation. You've had a longtime pastor who's retired, and you're happy for him. He retired. He's put in his life's work. He gets to go and enjoy himself and relax from the labor of his life. But for you folks, that leaves you in a place of uncertainty. Who's the next pastor going to be? What are you going to do? How are you going to get by? Well, the simple answer is you're going to be faithful. You're going to be attentive. You're going to come to church. You're going to continue to worship and praise God. You're going to spend hours in prayer. I can't underscore that enough. You're going to spend hours in prayer seeking God's will and seeking to understand God's purposes for you. And your future will reveal itself. A new pastor will come. Another pastor will come who will care for you and love for you, lift you up, guide you in the ways of the Lord, and you will carry on. It will be different. It won't be the same. It'll be a different pastor. It'll be part of your reshaping and part of your remolding. You'll have to adapt and adjust to the new pastor, just as he or she will have to adapt and adjust to you. But know that God loves you. God is with you. And God is in no way indifferent to your needs, your fears, your wants. In Christ, God is with you. And that's a message of hope. That's something you can hang on to. That is a good thing. God is with you. There is a point in this whole process where the potter is seeking to raise a pot off of the wheel. you're seeking a new pastor. That's going to be a shaping and reshaping and remolding time for this congregation. But eventually, that pastor will come, and it'll create a vessel for this congregation to move forward. And that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to prepare you for a future that you don't know yet. You can't see the future. I can't see the future. Anybody here see the future? We can guess at it. We can say, if this happens, that'll happen. But all in all, we don't. That's why we always resist change, because the future brings change. Don't fear the change. Seek God and follow God's counsel. But the point is, of course, the potter seeking to raise a useful, beautiful pot from his wheel. Friends, I would urge you, as I've already said, to be attentive to the word of God. That's always, I may be a man out of my time, but I can't get past that one, as we must always be attentive to the word of God, because when we are attentive to the word of God through reading it, meditating on it, digesting it, praying over it, we learn and begin to fathom, begin to know the mind and will of God. It's there. It's there. Today's passage from Jeremiah, there's a warning in it. It says, "But they will reply, 'It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts.'" Now, as I was getting ready this week and looking at this passage and preparing, two things came to mind. One is, as you read this passage, one of the images that came to my mind was the story of Jonah. Who remembers the story of Jonah after the big fish? Everybody knows the big fish or the whale. What happened after that? Well, the reason Jonah ended up in the big fish is because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. He didn't want to go preach to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was Syrians. They were the enemy. He didn't want to preach to the enemy about God's grace or about God's wrath. He just wanted God to destroy them. So he ran away, and in running away, he got thrown over the side of the boat, fell into the deeps, and the fish swallowed him and took him back to shore. But what happens afterward is Jonah finally acquiesces, and he goes and he preaches in Nineveh. He spends 3 or 4 days walking across the city of Nineveh, preaching that if they do not repent, God is going to destroy them. Well, he must have been a heck of a preacher, because the entire city repented in sackcloth and ashes. From the king down to the lowliest person, they all repented in sackcloth and ashes. The animals didn't work. They fasted. They prayed. They begged for God's forgiveness. They changed their ways, and God relented and did not destroy them because they repented of their evil ways. Now, the funny thing is, Jonah was mad about that because he, like I said, he didn't like them. He wanted them to be destroyed. He said, "God, I knew you would do that." And the funny thing about the story of Jonah, the only one in the story of Jonah not to repent was Jonah. Everybody else repented. The people on the ship repented. The people in the city of Nineveh repented. Jonah was the only one that didn't repent in that story. So, but that was in our lesson here. God says to Jeremiah, has Jeremiah tell the Israelites, if a nation is to be destroyed and they repent of their ways, I will change my mind. And if they are to be built up and they do evil, well, that's going to go away. God is involved with us. And God will shape and reshape us, sometimes gently, sometimes not so gently. But his purpose will be served. And so I say, the other thing that comes to mind is, don't be stubborn like Jonah. Don't be stubborn with the Lord. Do you think you can out-stubborn the Lord? You can't out-stubborn the Lord. The Lord is the hound of heaven. He will pursue you to the depths to redeem you. It's proven that in Jesus already. You can't out-stubborn God. Instead, yield your hearts and your lives up to God. Yield yourselves up to the Holy Spirit and allow yourselves to be amazed by what Christ can do in your lives and in your congregation's midst. Allow it to happen. Cooperate with the process. Allow God to shape you, mold you, guide you into the individuals you're supposed to be, into the congregation that you can be. It'll be to your benefit and to the glory of God. So I encourage you, allow yourselves to be reformed, reshaped, remade, remolded in the image of God. Amen.